chiropractic.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new week here on the program. Hope your day is starting off well. My voice is a little iffy this morning, but that's all right. I've been finally getting over, I guess, the rest of this cold, which I guess I'm lucky because some of the people that I traveled with tested positive for COVID. So I did not. I took a couple tests and was negative. But still, this cold hit me a little bit harder than, probably because I haven't had one in a long, long time. So if I sound a little strained, that's why. Just some coughing and getting everything up over the weekend. I'm going to promise not to cough in your ear, at least if I can help it. So I hope that you had a good weekend. I hope that if you went to the feast, that you had a good feast. I hope that you experienced everything you wanted and maybe learned a few things, maybe made some new friends, tried some new things. That's what life's all about, right? And it's funny because I was Marcus came by on Friday toward the end of Chris's show, and I was talking with him, and he's like, are you going to go? And I was like, yeah, I'll probably go Sunday because the weather is going to be iffy, and that'll probably be, you know, that's a day everybody goes for the parade and everything, but things might kind of slow down a little bit in the afternoon if it's going to be somewhat threatening of rain. But I just did not feel up to it. And I was like, well, if I have anything that I can, any germs I can pass on, I should stay away from the crowd. So I did not go. Plus, I have a big writing project that I had to finish. I agreed to work on this, something for the paranormal world, part of a manual for some equipment. And you ever do that thing where you say, well, it's going to take me this much time, and you sign the contract, and then you realize, oh, I really shortchanged myself on the time. And I went way over the contracted hours, but that's on me. That's on me. So anyway, I had to finish that up. There's a lot that we can discuss this morning. I can tell you right now, we are still waiting for more details from the DA's office regarding the homicide that happened in New Bedford over the weekend. There's very little details. We know that it happened early Sunday on Earl Street, but that's really all the information that we have. So I reached out to the New Bedford Police Department and asked for more information. They referred me to the DA's office. Well, actually, I reached out to the DA's office at the same time, but I'm sure they'll get back to us with some more information today, and then we can bring that to you. Of course, we've had fatal crashes over the weekend. And unfortunately, in the summertime, I'm kind of the de facto news person on the weekend because there's things that I do on the weekend on the computer anyway. So I'm always like, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll handle it. And I dread waking up on a Sunday morning in the summer a lot of the times because these are the kind of stories that we have to share with you. Yesterday I slept in. I didn't wake up until afternoon time. And which is funny because I went to bed at like 11 o'clock Saturday night. I guess I was just tired. But when I woke up, my phone's blowing up with people, you know, texting me information, and just I said, well, it's gonna be one of those Sundays, I guess. And tried to get as much information as we could on a Sunday, but again, you know, we're waiting for more information from the DA's office. So when we have that, we will let you know. I want to thank Paul Santos for filling in for Ken Pittman over the weekend. Paul's going to be with you this week for me on Thursday morning, because I'm headed to a concert Wednesday night, taking my niece. It's at Fenway. So it's going to be a late night getting home. And I said, you know what, rather than go home and sleep for 2 hours and come in and try to do the show and be irritable and snap at people, I'll just use some of my time off. So he's going to fill in on Thursday morning. And I heard rave reviews about when he filled in for me last week, so, or the week before last. You'll get more of the same with Paul. And I'm so glad that he's able to do fill-ins for me. He'll fill in for me a little bit later on this month as well when I head out to the Michigan Paracon. Because this way here, we don't have to make Jack Spillane wake up early in the morning and fill in for me when he's now semi-retired. But he will be in later on today. He'll be in during the 8 o'clock hour. We will turn on the light. We'll talk about a number of issues, including the lights reporting on the wind turbine parts that washed up in Westport, Jack's recent column on the passing of former Bristol County District Attorney Paul Walsh, and a host of other topics. But until then, it's me and you at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I almost gave that 800 number out again. Like, we haven't had that for years. Why does that still stick in my head? The weird thing is, so in doing this and giving out that phone number all the time, I can't tell you how many times people have asked me for my number at things, you know, like, I don't know, like the doctor's office or something, or exchanging information with somebody. What's your phone number? Oh, 508-996-0500. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, don't call that number. But it's just the first thing that pops out of your head. And then when you're behind the microphone, it's a constant struggle to make sure that you don't accidentally give out your personal number. So it kind of goes either way, depending on the situation. So there was a story that broke Friday afternoon. And I don't know if, I know Brian was filling in for Barry. I don't know if he got a chance to talk about it much. I was a little bit behind and stuff, so it took me a little while to get the story published at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. So I think I didn't get it up there before he was done with his broadcast. But I don't know if he started talking about it beforehand or if it was covered over the weekend. But Bristol County Sheriff Paul Heroux put out a press release on Friday afternoon that starting today, they are putting air conditioning in all of the housing units at the Bristol County House of Correction in Dartmouth. I guess there are some that had it already, because he said all of the remaining housing units, so I'm assuming that that meant that there were some that had it already, but the plan is to put it in all of them. Some of them will get mini split systems. Some of them will have bigger systems put in. It all, you know, it depends on the size of the housing unit. And it's going to start with one of the women's housing units today. And I was kind of waiting to see, you know, the comments on Facebook under this story, and to see kind of what the reaction was going to be. And I didn't really see a lot of negative comments. Now, I don't know if that was, you know, because it's a Friday afternoon in the summertime, feast weekend, people are doing other things, and they might have just not scrolled by and seen the story. But this is a project that's been ongoing since last summer. And And by the way, there will not be installing any air conditioning in Ash Street because Sheriff Haro still plans to move forward with a plan to close Ash Street. So he feels like that would be, you know, just a waste of money. But he said he's having air conditioning installed because his goal is, this is a quote from him. My goal is to run a modern, humane, professional correctional organization. Extreme heat undermines the rehabilitative process, purpose of the jail by making it more punitive and dangerous. He also says that courts have held that excessive heat can violate inmates' Eighth Amendment rights. And he said that as temperatures get hotter, tempers get shorter, and that leads to a lot of inmate-on-inmate fighting and a lot of inmate-on-correctional officer fighting. And in his release, Sheriff Haro even addressed those who thought, those who would say, well, they're in jail, they don't deserve air conditioning. Which was kind of the approach of Sheriff Hodgson. Basically, you know, in a nutshell, jail is not supposed to be comfortable. So Haro addressed that by saying, even if some members of the public don't want inmates to have AC, the living spaces of the inmates are the workspaces of nearly 300 correctional officers. They go hand in hand. Hot conditions threaten the health of correctional officers by increasing the risk for inmate violence on staff and putting them at risk from heat-related conditions. So, I mean, that's a great point, that it's not just the inmates who are there. And by the way, most of those inmates, or, you know, 60% of those inmates are awaiting trial. Only 40% are actually serving time already sentenced. But as he points out, 300 correctional officers work in that environment. And that, you know, it's for their safety as well that this is being installed. And as a, you know, just as a slight correlation to that, I spent 17 years cooking in a diner where the boss didn't think it was important to have air conditioning in the kitchen. It's going to get hot in here anyway. Yeah, okay, but the air conditioning can help mitigate some of that heat. It's not like we're asking you to put in our own split in our own, you know, system here. Just put in a vent. But he wouldn't do it. And so we were dealing with temperatures that were regularly over 100 degrees in the kitchen. And his response was, well, if you don't like it, you shouldn't have been a cook. The old, you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen approach. And I saw people pass out. I saw people get overheated. And we wouldn't want that happening to correctional officers, because anytime a correctional officer is in a weakened state, that's asking for trouble. So I honestly don't think that this is an outrageous thing for the sheriff to do. I think it's a just and humane thing to do, not only for the prisoners, but for the guards as well, for the correctional officers, rather. And the other part of this is, you know, people are going to say, well, I'm not paying more tax dollars to give them air conditioning. Well, and you're not. Part of this came from a federal grant of $130,000. And the rest of the money will come from those canteen funds that the sheriff has been using for various things, such as, you know, suicide-proofing the bunks and things of that nature. Those canteen funds, which I think is somewhere around $3 million, $3.5 million, I'm sorry, 1.6. I was way off. 3.5 was how much money it's going to cost to fix Ash Street. I had the right train of thought, just the wrong figure. So $1.6 million in canteen fees, canteen money, And that has to be spent on the prisoners. That's the law. And this would qualify as one of those expenses they can spend it on. They're also looking into putting solar panels to help with the electric cost of running this. But the taxpayer is incurring no more. There's no bill that the taxpayers have to cover for this. So your thoughts on whether or not this is a good idea, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Again, I think it's a perfectly reasonable thing to do with that money. Not just for inmate health, but for correctional officer health as well. Because it's also a bad look if you start having prisoners who are passing out from the heat. And if this summer has shown us anything at all, it's that we're probably due for more heat waves. We've had quite a few already this summer, two or three. And it's it's dangerous on a variety of levels. And wouldn't you want the correctional officers who go in and do this job every day to have every advantage on their side to be able to do their job, not only to keep themselves healthy, but to avoid agitation from the inmates and potential harm from any kind of uprising? We've seen what happens when the inmates rise up. At the correctional facility, we've already seen, they've already had as much as the sheriff doesn't like us using that word, a riot. So yeah, are there other places that need air conditioning as well? Yes. Somebody pointed out in app chat, they should put the air conditioning in the courthouse first. They had to cancel cases because it got too hot in the courthouse. Okay, fine, but that is not the job of the Bristol County Sheriff's Office, who's using a grant granted to the Bristol County Sheriff's Office and canteen funds that were paid for by the prisoners, that have to be spent on the prisoners. Those funds, you couldn't say, well, let's grab those up and use those to air condition the courthouse. The courthouse needs to figure out their own way to improve their air conditioning situation. Again, app chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app, brought to you by South Coast Towing. Really quickly, we have a new contest up for you at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app today. After giving away New Kids in the Block tickets and Missy Elliott tickets last week, this week we have, for all of you 30 Seconds to Mars fans, or maybe you're just a Jared Leto fan, the band is coming later on this month to Xfinity Center. I believe it's August 18th. And so we have tickets to give away all this week. So you can enter to win at WBSM.com and the WBSM app. And those are brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits on Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. And where you can get all of your tailgating needs before any concert. Right now, we're going to take a break. We will be back in just a few moments. The laundry on the hill. And welcome back in. Gotta love Squeeze. What a great song. We are going to be taking more of your calls coming up, 508-996-0500. Right now, though, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Debbie making landfall as a hurricane with record rain predicted. Republicans defend Trump on his race remarks. And a big anniversary for Woodstock.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Hurricane Debbie is nearing landfall in Florida today. The National Hurricane Center at latest update reports the Category 1 storm is about 70 miles southeast of Tallahassee with maximum sustained winds of 80 miles per hour. Debbie is expected to come ashore in the state's Big Bend area, and it's forecast to bring potentially historic rainfall across southeast Georgia and South Carolina through Friday. Republicans are defending Donald Trump's comments questioning Kamala Harris's race. In an interview with ABC's This Week, Florida Congressman Byron Donalds called it a, quote, phony controversy, but went on to say her presidential campaign is now, quote, talking much more about her black identity.
Like, this is really a phony controversy. I don't really care. Most people don't. But if we're going to be accurate, when Kamala Harris went into the United States Senate, it was AP that said she was the first Indian American United States Senator.
Trump, during an interview with the National Association of Black Journalists last week, claimed Harris had, quote, turned black after identifying only as Indian for years. Meanwhile, Harris interviewed three candidates Sunday to be her running mate. The vice president has been talking with Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona and Governors Tim Walz of Minnesota and Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania. Donald Trump's federal election interference case is going back to court on August 16th. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan resumed control of the case on Friday after the Supreme Court issued its ruling that presidents are immune from prosecution when carrying out official acts. Chutkan issued an order Saturday denying Trump's motion to dismiss the federal criminal charges brought by special counsel Jack Smith. The United States is sending more military assets to the Middle East as Iran warns of blood vengeance. Phil Farrar with the details.
This comes after it is believed Israeli forces played a role in the death of Hamas leader Ismail Haniya in Tehran. Iran says it will retaliate. The Pentagon says San Diego-based nuclear-powered aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln is headed to the region. That would be the second San Diego-based Navy carrier in the Middle East. The USS Theodore Roosevelt is operating in the Gulf of Oman. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has also ordered additional missile defense-capable cruisers and destroyers to the region. I'm Phil Farrar.
Elon Musk says his company Neuralink has put a brain implant in a second patient. The device aims to allow paralyzed people to use digital devices with their thoughts. Musk says the implantation was successful and that the company plans to implant 8 more patients this year. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says he was the one who left a dead bear in New York City's Central Park 10 years ago. Michael Kastner reports.
The independent presidential candidate posted a video to X Sunday where he explains the story to comedian Roseanne Barr and says he wants to get the story out there before something comes out in the New Yorker. Kennedy said he saw the bear get killed on a road in the Hudson Valley and decided to put it in his van so he could take it home, skin it, and use the meat. He got delayed in New York City and didn't have time to take the bear home before he had to be at the airport. Goes on to say he and his group of friends had the idea to put the bear in Central Park and make it look like it was hit by a bicycle. I'm Michael Kastner.
And the New York town of Bethel celebrating the 30th anniversary of Woodstock 94. In August of 1994, roughly 350,000 fans descended on Bethel to commemorate the 25th anniversary of the original Woodstock Festival of 1969. While none of the original bands from the 94 lineup were able to play this past weekend, several local bands gathered to perform for the anniversary concert.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox claim their series over the Texas Rangers following a 7-2 win in the finale from Arlington. They traveled to play the Kansas City Royals tonight.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Monday morning, starting out the work week with some patchy fog, humidity in place with temperatures in the low 70s this morning, a little bit of cloud cover, beautiful afternoon with mid-80s and plenty of sunshine. Overnight tonight, conditions begin to deteriorate. Slight chance for showers, patchy fog around 70, mid to upper 70s for tomorrow under gray skies with a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Cecilia del Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
Weather on WBSM is brought to you by SeaStreak.
Whether it's a daycation or a staycation, get there with SeaStreak. Visit SeaStreak.com for reservations to Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back. And we were talking in the last segment about the decision and the announcement by Bristol County Sheriff Paul Hureau to install air conditioning in the Bristol County House of Correction in Dartmouth. That is going to be starting today. So there's going to be a couple of different buildings they got to put that into, but it's going to start with one of the women's housing units today. And Jeff in Fall River sent in an app chat message saying, good morning, Tim. Didn't see the sheriff yesterday in the parade or anyone from the department. Usually they have a presence every year. I don't know why they wouldn't have been in there unless they were, you know, working on a Sunday trying to get ahead of this air conditioning issue. I would think that Sheriff Hureau or at least somebody in the department would tell him the importance of that parade. But he might have, you know, he might have had other things that he needed to do or that he felt were, you know, more pressing on his time. I don't know. I can't speak for him. Maybe the next time he comes in with Chris can address it with him. I'm just looking to see on his Facebook page if he had anything about, you know, because he usually puts like what his day's workload was. But he didn't have anything for yesterday. But I'm sure Chris can ask him the next time he comes in, or callers can call in and ask him. But I'm sure there will be plenty of people who are upset by that decision. But I think the sheriff makes fair points. You know, it's not only for the safety of the inmates, but it's for the safety of the correctional officers as well. And as he said, that courts have ruled that not having air conditioning can be a violation of the inmates' Eighth Amendment rights. The important part of this, though, is that it's being paid for by existing funds. So it's not like he's installing, I mean, between that and the suicide proofing of the bunks, you know, he's not coming up with programs that he's got his hand out to the taxpayer saying, man, I need you to give me more money. He's finding ways to cut the budget and to move money around to be able to put these programs into place. You might not agree with it, but at least he's doing it within the confines of what his budget already is. So I don't know. I think it's a necessary thing. I don't know how you can have a place, a workplace that isn't air conditioned for your employees. I mean, it's one thing if, you know, if you're a roofer, you realize, yes, I'm going to be outside. I'm going to be doing this job. I'm going to be out there in the sun, in the heat, or, you know, anybody else that works outdoors. But especially in places where people are exerting physical labor, You've got to have air conditioning for them. A warehouse. I mean, I know garages don't usually have it. They usually have the bay doors open, but I think garages should have it. So I guess You know, you're going to hear from the people who say, well, I don't have it where I work. Well, okay, well, if you had $1.6 million in canteen funds where you work, they could put it in. So we can talk more about that, 508-996-0500. As I mentioned earlier in the program, there are a couple of fatal crashes over the weekend across Bristol County, including that story, the one that occurred in Fairhaven where someone was on a moped. And while there's not a lot of details yet, hopefully we get more information on what happened there. But drivers have to be more aware of motorcycle riders, moped riders, scooter riders, not only because it's summer and it's nice weather, but there are more of these types of vehicles on the road because people are looking to save money. I mean, if I only had to go a couple of miles every day, I'd want to get one of those. Rather than spend money to fuel up my car. I mean, when I had my motorcycle, I loved taking that everywhere because I could fill up the gas tank for $5. And that was a week's worth of gas to get everywhere I needed to go. I could go to work every day. I could go to my second job every day. And then I would take a bunch of rides just for pleasure. I'd get out of work from one job and say, you know what, I'm just going to go for a ride to kind of clear my head a little bit. And I'd go off for a couple of hours. Never thought about, gee, I'm wasting gas. Because to fill that tank up was $5 and it lasted me the whole week. So we're going to see more people utilizing those type of means of transportation, and we've got to be aware of it. I mean, I'd still have mine today if it wasn't for the fact that everything started when I got ran off the road. Because people just weren't respectful of the fact that I was, you know, trying to pass me on a two-lane road. Sorry, the speed limit's 35. I'm going 35. And if you don't like it, you can't just blow by me and force me into the sand, which is what happened. Dumped out. But anyway, 508-996-0500. Let's take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back. 508-996-0500. A little Warren Zevon there to start your day. And we were talking about this installation of air conditioning at the Bristol County House of Correction. And Lori says, sorry to say it. She says, what about classrooms? These kids have no air conditioning in the classrooms. I don't know if that's been discussed or not. And I'm not saying that they should not have air conditioning at the prison. I hate the heat, so I sympathize. But I also sympathize for the children that have no air conditioning in their classrooms. And you know what? I agree with you, Lori. I don't understand why there are classrooms without air conditioning. Honestly, I get it. Some schools are older. Some schools don't have the HVAC systems and all of that, and they don't have the vents and the ductwork and all that. Find a way. Put one of those room air conditioners, and I know they don't work great, but it's better than nothing. But there's no excuse to not have some kind of air conditioning in a classroom. If you have to put a window AC in, you put a window AC in. And if a school needs to be refitted to be able to do that, that's money that has to be spent. There can't be a lack of air conditioning in schools. The minute it becomes too hot, you lose the kids' ability to focus and learn anything. It's a wasted day. So, and I get it. I know there are schools that are just too old, schools that aren't designed to handle it. But I don't know that we just can't do it isn't a good enough reason. And for parents who are upset about, well, my kid goes to school and it's so hot and they shouldn't have to deal with all that. Okay, well, then when the time comes to, you know, vote for a Proposition 2.5 override because you've got to raise money to build a new school, well, keep that in mind. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love old buildings. I do. But we shouldn't be using a 100-plus-year-old building as a school. And if somebody can come in and buy an old school and refurbish it and turn it into apartments that have air conditioning, well, then, you know what? We should be able to do that for a school as well. You want to keep that building? Fine. You've got to go in there and outfit it in a way that it can have better airflow. And the idea of, well, you know, 120 years ago when they opened that school, kids didn't need air conditioning. It's because they grew up without it. So an 80, 90 degree day didn't feel different to them. We have grown up with it. It's a modern convenience. And as a modern convenience, we've got to deal with it. So your answer is to either raise a child that never experiences air conditioning or find a way to air condition the classroom. I can tell you, as somebody who hates the heat, I would not be for the former. Even this weekend, I had my two window ACs running on opposite sides of the house. Normally, that's fine. Normally, that's enough to control the temperature. But it just got to be too much. I'd go into the bathroom where it doesn't quite reach and say, well, nope, going to have to wait to take a shower. It's a little too hot and steamy in here. So am I spoiled by being around too much air conditioning? I spent years in a kitchen dealing with the heat. 508-996-0500. Let's take a quick call here before I get to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim, how you doing? Great job, as usual. Hey, I would think that I agree with you about the schools and the air conditioning, and I just think that our politicians kick cans down the road. They lose focus of what's really important for the kids, and money goes elsewhere. There's a lot of money going to not securing the border and the results of the border not being secured, and boy, it would be nice for a couple $1 billion to upgrade our schools' HVAC systems and things like that to take care of, to, you know, have some priorities and maintain them. And then one other point about air conditioners in prison. The sheriff made a comment last week on the radio that there was some type of law or regulation that he's trying to follow. He couldn't recite the law, and he couldn't even say whether it was a law or a regulation about this, you know, a mandatory temperature, and that requires air conditioning. That is just not true in Massachusetts. It's not true. I worked in prisons for 36 years. I know the public health regulations. I know all the regulations governing climate control in prison, and there is no regulation that prisons be outfitted with air conditioning, nor is there any regulation that prisons have to maintain a temperature that's below a certain Fahrenheit. Well, but I just wanted to put that out there. That's just his personal opinion, his reasons for putting air conditioning in there. You know, he claims that they're not going to be using any taxpayer money, which is not true as well, not to mention the electric bill. But, I mean, I understand why he's doing it. And if I was working there, I would probably appreciate some climate control. I worked in prisons most of my adult life that had no air conditioning, so I understand the impact of it. But I think there's a lot of law-abiding citizens that deserve some help, and elderly people, schools. There's a lot of other people that that are probably not getting air conditioning installed this summer. And I just want to leave it at that.
All right. Thank you for the call. Have a good day. And let's take a break here. We'll be right back. And just a reminder, if you are heading up to Boston today, if that's part of your daily commute, the Sumner